Tonight, I want to tell you the same thing, but before we get to that, let's go ahead and read the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. We're going to read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse number 6. The Gospel of John, chapter number 13, verse number 6. And then cometh he, talking about Jesus, to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? And Jesus answered and said unto him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and gather tonight. God, we thank you for all you've done for us, all you've given us. Lord, tonight as we look into your word, I pray that you'd help us, God, that we could be zealous for knowledge about your word. God, zealous in our work for you. Lord, help us that we would always prioritize you in our life, God. Above all, that we could live a life pleasing unto you, deceiving some lost soul could see Christ through us. Not for our honor and glory, but for yours. Lord, be with the service tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, a man told me that whenever you're rebounding the basketball, you have to be greedy. You have to desire to get that ball more than the person next to you, otherwise you're not going to get it. Tonight, if you desire to be a good Christian, you have to be greedy. Never heard a preacher say that, eh? If you want to be a good Christian, you have got to be greedy. Peter was greedy. Peter said, Lord, I don't want you to just wash my feet. I want you to wash everything. Peter, I don't want you to just... Jesus, I don't want you to just wash my feet, but I want you to wash everything. And being a Christian, I want you to be greedy. I want you to want to sing praises to God, not have to. How many times do you say that I have to go to church? I can't go do that. Be careful. I have to go to church. I can't go here. I have to go to church. I can't do that. Don't say you have to go to church. You get to go to church. You don't have to go to church. Some of you may have to go to church. The young ones just walked in. It's a blessing when you got to go to church. Everybody else, we get to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You get to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. You get to pray. Since when did become greedy, being greedy about God's word, become a bad thing? Since when did it become something that as a society we want nothing to do with? And being greedy about God's word is the same concept that is used over and over and over in the Bible about being zealous. It's about being engaged. It's about being excited. And nobody's excited anymore. It's almost like it doesn't matter. And I spoke to a guy this weekend. I went to a men's retreat and helped work in a meeting. The pile of people from Baton Rouge was over there as guest and part of the retreat. And I was talking to one of the men that showed up early, and he's the pastor of a church that right next door to him was a Baptist church that had been there for 100 years, and that church was no longer there. He said that during COVID, the church shut down, and their church actually absorbed the remaining 4 or 5 members. And I asked him, I said, why did the church shut down? He said, because people quit signing up to clean. He said, that's the reason. People stopped signing up to clean the church, and so it became the responsibility of one or two individuals. Those one or two individuals said, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I'm going to go leave and go somewhere else. And then people started slacking up on their giving because we said, we're giving this much to the church. We should be spending it somewhere else. We could be spending it somewhere else. And so they went and they spent it somewhere else. And the church could no longer afford to pay the gas bill. So when it was 10 degrees during the winter and the church was cold, because nobody paid the gas bill, it couldn't run the heat. Then other people said, we're not going to stand for this. We're leaving and going somewhere else. The church didn't fall and the church didn't close their doors because God gave up on them. The church closed their doors because people gave up on God because they were no longer greedy about God's work. They were no longer excited about God's work. They no longer wanted more and more and more of God. They wanted less and less and less of God. Tell me if that don't sound like America today. Tell me if that don't sound like... That sounds like pine. We want less and less and less of God and more and more and more of everything else. Peter said, Lord, I don't want you to just wash my feet. I want you to wash everything. Jesus, I don't want just a little blessing. I want all the blessing. Turn over to John. Where is it at? Chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. When is the last time that you ran to church? Let me ask a better question. When's the last time you were early for church? I was the first one in the parking lot tonight, by the way. I know who was not early for church. I was sitting out there waiting. Now, Bailey got ready early, and I thought y'all started at 5:30 for King's Kids, so me and her were here at 5:30. When is the last time that you were so excited to be in church that you showed up early? When is the last time that you were so excited to worship and praise God that you volunteered to sing in the choir, that you volunteered to sing a special, that you sang so loud that somebody turned around and looked at you because they thought something was wrong? When is the last time that you praised God that much? It's been a long time, hasn't it? John chapter 20, Jesus had died. He'd been buried, and the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark unto the sepulchre. When is the last time? We'll show up to church late, but we'll be to school on time. We'll be to work on time. Mary Magdalene showed up to the tomb early. She was excited. She was looking. Y'all ever read the story of when Moses went and offered his son as a sacrifice to God? He rose up early. God told him to kill his son as a sacrifice to him, and Moses got up early in the morning to do it. If ever there was a time to drag your feet, that was the time. Right? That was the time that you drag your feet. Moses did not. If we drag our feet and not work for God, then we are going to drag our feet to the point that we are face down on the floor and churches begin to close the doors. That is where dragging our feet gets to us. In the South. What we consider to be evangelical churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, independent churches, non-denominational churches, Pentecostal churches, all lumped into what they consider evangelical churches. Between 10 and 15% closed post-COVID. They shut down, said it's not worth it anymore. 30% of preachers said we're done during COVID. 30% said it's no longer worth it. We're finished. It's not happening. What does it take for people to be concerned about the lost in this world today? What does it take for God to get us? What does he have to do to get us excited again? I know it's not news to y'all. God's already done it. God's already done it. We've just lost that zeal. Said Mary Magdalene got up early and went to the sepulchre. And she ran, verse number 2, she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they both ran together. They ran together. They wanted Jesus so bad that they raced together. They wanted him that bad. When is the last time that you wanted more of God? When is the last time that you wanted more of God? It's easy to have everything else in this world to do other than pray to God, read to God, talk to God, listen to God. You know why? Because we are inundated with stimulus. Yeah. On every hand, there is something going on. On every hand, there is somebody calling, texting, emailing, Facebook, and there's always a basketball game, football game. If there's not one on live, there is one on that was a playback from way back when. There is always somebody requiring your attention. There is always something requiring your attention. There is always something that you could be looking at. You can always be TikToking it or checking your email or doing this or that and the other. There's always something to stimulate you. But when have we slowed down and desired to be fed spiritually of God? If you skip, has anybody said, no, we ain't there. We don't skip physical meals, do we? We don't skip physical meals. We ate good harmony today. Plates of chicken like this. Sure, it had some left over till I took some home. We had ribs. We had mashed potatoes. Emily made some green beans that she accidentally put chipotle sauce in instead of beef bouillon. It was good. And we had a plate of bread pudding that I'm telling you was this long. It was phenomenal. We do not skip physical meals, but we are starving spiritually, and we just don't care. It seems like we're still on a diet. We're starving ourselves to death because we don't read God's word. We're starving ourselves to death because we don't pray to God, because we don't listen, because we don't pay attention whenever He's trying to speak to us. Because whenever we're reading our Bible, let me tell you, the most of the things that people think of whenever they're reading their Bible, they're thinking of how quickly can I get to the end of this chapter. How quickly can I get to the end of this story? I wonder how long I have to read before Mom and Daddy assumes that I've read enough. How many pages do I have to read before I satisfy my conscience that I have read my Bible enough today? How long does my prayer have to be before people in church think that I'm a spiritual person? How good do I have to sing for people to start clapping for me? If you're singing for people to clap for you, you're singing for the wrong reason. If you're praying so that everybody thinks you're spiritual, you're praying for the wrong reason. If you're reading your Bible just to turn the page, you're reading your Bible for the wrong reason. God is not a flu shot. He's not something that you just get. He's not something that just happens. He's something that ought to be a staple in your life. Something that we cannot do without. Something that we desire more than anything else. We need to get back to that point. I don't want God to become an accessory to you. Check your pockets. What is it you have in your pockets? I have a truck key, some house keys, and a pocket knife. That's what I have in my pockets right now. I also have a watch and a wedding ring. These are the five things that I never, ever, ever leave the house without. You find me anywhere, you're going to find me with a truck key, a pocket knife, my house keys, my watch, and my wedding ring. All the time. Everything else is optional. These are not. These are must-haves. These are absolutes. Whenever we leave the house, is God something that we take with us? Is God an accessory? Or is God like our church shoes? I put these church shoes on twice a week. See how they're scuffed up? Kind of coming apart here at the top. These are 4 years old, people. They look new, don't they? These are 4 years old. You know the reason they're not worn anymore than they are? Because I only wear it twice a week. Is God something that you pick up twice a week? Or is God something that you take with you every day? Is God something that you can do without? I've been to church in work boots before. I've wore tennis shoes to church before. Is God something that you can do without? Or is God something that you absolutely cannot survive without? When's the last time you read God's word outside of this church? When is the last time that you prayed outside of this church? You want a fulfilled life? Be greedy about God. Want more of God. Desire more of God. Love more of God. Crave God. My wife told me this morning that I make her absolutely hungry whenever I preach. Because the first thing I talked about this morning was dirt cake. It is. I was preaching about God being worth it, right? And I love making dirt cake. It makes a big old pot about yay big. But the problem with dirt cake is, by the time you put in all the Cool Whip and all the vanilla pudding and all the Oreo cookies, you've got about $29 worth of groceries in that dirt cake. And it's not worth it for me to make a $29 dirt cake and then share it with everybody else and me only get three bowls of it. It's not worth it. The work of God is worth it. Craving God is worth it. Loving God is worth it. Desiring God is worth it. We read of people in the Bible that paid prices for God. And we read of Paul and we read of Peter and we read of Abraham and we read of David. And we read of Elijah and Elisha and all of these men. And we think, oh, these are the heroes of the faith. These were just ordinary people with extraordinary faith. These were people who craved God. These were people who loved God. These were people who looked for God. These were people who ran toward God. They had a desire. They had a craving. They had a greediness about them. They wanted more of God. Paul was preaching one day. Thank God Brother Harold don't preach as long as Paul did. Paul was standing up there preaching, and he was preaching, and he was preaching, and hours went by, and this old dude fell asleep. He fell out of the rafters. Y'all remember that story? But the people listened. Ezra stood up and proclaimed the law of the Lord unto the people from morning unto night. And the people listened. The people desired it. The people loved it. There was a time in your life that you loved the Word of God more than anything else. You could not get enough. For most people, it was the day that you got saved and shortly thereafter. Think real hard about whenever you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Whenever you trusted in Him, whenever you believed on Him, did you read the Bible at that point? You did. Couldn't get enough of it. Did you tell other people about Jesus at that point? You did. I was in second, third grade. I told everybody. I read the Bible all the time. I still have the Bible that Brother Mike Williams gave me whenever I got saved. He was the Sunday school leader. He gave me the Bible, had my name on it. I still have that Bible. It's all kind of wore out. If you don't wear out a Bible every couple of years, you're not reading it enough. Because you can be as gentle as you want to with these things, and they're still going to wear. If you don't wear out a Bible, you're not reading enough. He gave me that Bible, and I commenced to read. And I commenced to read, and I commenced to pray. And I tell you, I always had the answers to the Sunday school lesson. And I was a good Christian at 12 years old. 13 years old. You know what happens whenever you get to be 14, 15, 16? You get distracted by everything else, and that zeal begins to fade away just a little bit. You know why? Because throughout the day, no matter how big of a breakfast you ate, throughout the day, what are you doing? Burning calories. For your body to survive, you are steadily burning calories. So what do? To make up for that? You eat. Spiritually, we have to eat to remain healthy. There's no alternative. There's nothing else that we can do. If you want to remain spiritually healthy, we have to eat. And y'all, if we ate as much spiritually as we do physically, this church would be busting, wouldn't it? It would. If we ate as much spiritually, if we cared as much about God as we do about the LSU Tigers, this church would be in all kinds of good shape, wouldn't it? So what's the problem? It's not just here. It's all over the country. It's all over the country. The church that I was telling you about, it was built for 1,200 members. Florida Boulevard in Baton Rouge. Whenever they closed, there were four people. Four people. People are falling away from God, and the Bible says that that's going to happen. But let's look. Let's go ahead and read it. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1:2. Acts chapter number 2. Peter desired to be full of God. Peter desired to be used of God. Peter desired to be closer to God. And Peter had his faults, right? He did. You without sin, throw the first rock. Okay? Peter had his faults. And whenever we look at Peter, those are the things we tend to focus on. Whenever you think about Peter, you think about him sinking in the water, right? Because he didn't have any faith. I know that's where your mind is going. Whenever you think about Peter, you think about him pulling out a sword and cutting the man's ear off. And Jesus told him not to. Whenever you think about Peter, you think about him denying Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. That's what you think about Peter this evening. Peter came on the day of Pentecost. And he stood up with the 11 in verse number 14 and lifted up his voice and preached. And you skip over to the end. Verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Verse 41, "And they gladly received his word and were baptized, and that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they," underline that next word, "continued steadfastly." The problem with us as new believers is we get that fire built up really, really big, and we forget to throw fuel on it. We forget to add a log to the fire. We forget to continue to fan that fire. We forget to continually feed, and we cannot continue to burn at the same pace if we are not spiritually fed. Read your Bible. Continue reading. "And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. The hardest thing that I have ever been through as a pastor is building a new building. Some of you understand. That's the hardest thing that I've ever seen a church go through. These were 3,000 plus, probably closer to 4,000 people that had all things in common. Continue to read in Acts, and especially go back to Acts chapter number 2, verse 1. It says that they met with one accord, and Brother Harold preached on this at Harmony. The U in church is for unity. They were with one accord, and Peter desired that. And it kind of built around that. It built around that desire. It built around that faith. It built around the fact that Peter was hungry, that Peter was feeding that fire. And Peter was working. I know most of you in this building tonight, and I've seen a lot of you working. Y'all are workers. From the old ones to the young ones, y'all are workers. But Harold, you can run that lawnmower with the best of them. Physical work is a great thing. Spiritual work is better. When is the last time that you witnessed to someone else about what Jesus has done in your life? When is the last time that you shared that? Kids, when is the last time that you shared with somebody at school about your experience with Jesus? When is the last time that you were concerned about someone else's salvation? I had a lady ask me yesterday. She asked me if I thought her son-in-law was saved. I said, "Is your son-in-law?" She said, "Yeah, but we've never had that conversation." They'd been married 4 or 5 years. They'd never had that conversation. Whether or not he was saved. It is absolutely terrifying to talk to other people about Jesus. Anybody disagree? It's terrifying. It's hard. You know why? It's easy to talk about LSU because you know where people stand, unless they're a Bama fan, which point you don't want to talk to anyway. It's easy to talk to people about sports because you know that they're probably going to enjoy it too. It's hard to talk about Jesus because you don't know where they stand. You don't know what they believe. You don't know how they believe. You don't know what kind of experiences they have had. But if you care at all about them, you're going to ask them about their current condition. Whether or not they ever believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you care at all about your kids, then you're going to talk to them about Jesus. If you care at all about your friends, then you're going to talk to them about Jesus. If you care at all about your in-laws, then you're going to talk to them about Jesus, no matter how uncomfortable it may be. In all growth, there is pain. All growth. I was sitting on that church pew listening to Brother Harold preach after that third piece of chocolate pie, and I was in pain. I was growing. I had eaten entirely too much, but I wasn't preaching, so it was okay. As you grow, you go through pain. As churches grow, things happen, and then things come up, and sometimes it's a painful process. As marriages grow, you can't talk to me, and some of y'all have been married a lot longer than I have. You can't tell me that it has been all easy and there's never been a fight or an argument, not a single one at all. If there hadn't, then I need to talk to you because there's a secret somewhere that I missed. But as you grow with each other, that there is pain. There is uncomfortableness. And I want to tell you this evening, every bit of it is worth it. Every bit of it. It is all worth it. It may be uncomfortable to share your testimony. 5 weeks ago, I went as a guest to a men's retreat. They meet in Louisiana. And there were some men on that retreat that were visibly uncomfortable. They didn't like it, not none at all, zero, none. They didn't like it. But they were handed a microphone. Whenever they were handed a microphone, they were asked to share their testimony. What God has done in their life. Not necessarily their salvation, but what God has done in their life. And these men stood up and they shared the way that God had broken them. The way that God had put them back together. The way that God had brought them through situations that they never thought they could have come through. And afterwards, those men were greeted with hugs from brothers that they had blessed with that testimony. Afterwards, those men were greeted by other men with tears in their eyes because they had blessed them with that testimony. Share Christ with others. Share what God has done in your life with others. Be so on fire for God that you can't shut up. Y'all all know Bailey, right? She never hushes. Ever. We were trying to get ready this morning and she woke up a little early. So for 3 solid hours before church, she was either singing, "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus," whatever song that y'all are learning for next Sunday, she was singing that too. I don't remember the words to it. She was singing something from Mulan and something from Frozen and something else from Minnie Mouse. But it was 100% of the time that she was awake, her mouth was moving. She was going, 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 she was going. And she was excited about it. And she was loving every single minute of it. We ought to be that way about sharing God. We ought to be that way about sharing Jesus. It is worth it every single time. Want more of God. Want to share more of God. Peter desired that God, that Jesus not only wash his feet, but that he wash him all over. Peter wanted more. If I stayed here and I opened this Bible back up and I commenced to preaching for another hour, how many of you would stay? I know you would. You have to. Everybody else. How many of you would stay? How many of you would stay if I drug on for another hour? How many of you would stay if someone came up and asked for prayer? And we commenced to pray and then church just drug on and the kids are out here playing and you can see them so happy and you're so jealous of them because they're out there playing and you're stuck in here. If that is our attitude, we're in a whole new kind of trouble. We should be excited to pray for others. We should be excited to read God's words. We should be excited to attend church. Don't show up late, show up early. Don't shy off and sit in the back and not share your brilliant singing voice or your racket, whatever it is, however you sing. Share it. Sing. Shout. Scream. Yell. Talk. Whatever you got to do. Praise God. He's done enough for us that if he stopped right now, we could still never make it up. My goal and my prayer for y'all and for this church is that we live every day at our end. What I mean by that is that we can only go so far. There's only so much that I can do, right? There's only so much that I can carry. There's only so much that I can achieve. There's only so much that I can take. There's only so much that I can handle. And when I get to my very end, that's where I need to live because that's where God picks me up. That's where we need to live. Whenever we have exhausted all of us, because all of us is nothing. As people, especially as men, we seem to think, I got this. Right? I got it. I can pick it up. I'll bow up on it. I can take care of it. There's not a problem I can't solve. There's not a TV I can't hang. Let's get after it. If we live every day of our life at our very end and allow God to pick us up, hunger for God, thirst for God, desire that He has more of an influence, more of an impact in our life, and that will trickle over. Some of you may know, and Brother Harold's probably preached about it. Billy Graham was on his big, what do you call it, crusade. And he showed up at Dallas, Texas, and that big, where that football team plays? Cowboys, thank you. They don't win, so I didn't know their name. Well, where the Cowboys play, and he was preaching, and the lights went out. And there was a guy in the front row, and back then they didn't have cell phones. Everybody had cigarette lighters in their pockets, and so the guy in the front struck a cigarette lighter. In a big stadium, or even in a little bitty building like this, if you turned off all the lights and one person stood in the back, nobody carries lighters anymore. With a cell phone light, it's not very bright, right? But Brother David, if you're hungry for God, and your family's going to see that, they're going to be hungry. Brother Ryan, if you are on fire for God, your family is going to see that, and that is going to trickle over. Jesus didn't change Peter from the outside in. He didn't wash him down and say, "Okay, Peter, now you're good." He changed Peter from the inside out. And that's how he changes lives of individuals, of families. That's how he changes churches. That is how he changes cultures. That is how he changes the world from the inside out. The Bible says, blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after God. Jesus will change your life. But you got to let him. One of my favorite movies is Where the Red Fern Grows, and we're going to draw to a close. And in that movie Where the Red Fern Grows, the boy wants, he wants to set a coon dog, right? He wants to set a coon dog something terrible. And he's working and he's working and he's working and he's trying, and he said, "Daddy, I want some coon dogs." And what's his daddy tell him? Sometimes you got to meet God halfway. Right? You want God to change your life? Hunger and thirst after him. He'll meet you there. You want God to change your family? Draw closer to him. He'll meet you there. You want God to change this community? Draw closer to him. He'll meet you there. That is my prayer for myself, for my family, for you, for your family, for this church, for harmony, prayer, that we can draw closer to God, that Jesus can change this world from the inside out. And he can do that if we'll but believe in him. Be greedy for God. Desire more of God. God show up. Brother Herb.